This morning, Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And let me mention a couple of things about the table in the back. We do have a pretty expansive book table with some things that probably you can't get in the average Christian bookstore, all right? Because they don't sell these books. All right. And actually, the speaker that spoke Wednesday night, Tom Brennan, so some of what we do with the seminary is guys that teach for us, we try to help them by carrying their books. So we have two books that Tom Brennan has written. If you want to do, all right, so Tom Brennan and I became really close in the last couple years. I actually, when I stopped pastoring, moved to his church and was there for 6 months, and under him and under his preaching, we developed just a really strong friendship. But he is a thinker, and if you didn't notice, he's a reader. So normally, I forgot, he reads, I think, I forgot how many books, but he reads between, I think, 50, 60, 70 books a year, and then always publishes something at the end of the year about his reading list. So he has done that for 30 plus years. He loves reading. And then he loves writing. So there's a book on, it's called Freed from Sin. It's a little thicker book. It is probably the best book on holiness or sanctification I've ever read on it. Yes, it's a little heavy. I would agree. But sometimes it's good for us to read a little heavy and understand some biblical truth. So there's that. Also, we did another thing I try to do is reprint once in a while. So on the subject of prayer, and I don't know how many I have the one, so I'll put this back there. But this is a book written by S.D. Gordon that's over 100 years old. It is an awesome book on the subject of prayer. Then I have written a couple of books. One book I highly recommend is on the Holy Spirit. A lot of misunderstanding on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We don't cover everything in regards to the Holy Spirit, but this book is specifically written to every believer. It's the Holy Spirit's ministry to every believer. You know, some people think, well, that's for the pastor. No, the Holy Spirit has been given to every believer. And you're missing out if you don't understand his ministry to you and how he wants to help you. The Holy Spirit wants to help us in our lives, and there's a number of things and a number of ways that he wants to help us. So hopefully, stop by if you have any questions. We also have some free things. Come by. We have candy, all right? That's free. Some pens, things like that. But also, if you go online to our website, we're trying to every once in a while launch a free class. So we have two free classes right now that are available, and you can take them. They're just small. We do have quizzes and things like that, but you can skip them if you want. But the one is on the King James Version. So can I trust my Bible? Just a simple, some lectures on it trying to help you understand, can I trust my Bible? The other one is a big word. It's called dispensationalism. And dispensationalism deals with some of the end times, but it deals with how as independent Baptists we approach the Bible and look at it. It helps us in understanding how God has worked in different time eras. And so that is, I would say, a simple understanding of dispensationalism. So those are two free classes that you can take and be educated. All right, so hopefully that'll help you out. I appreciate Pastor Bishop, his wife, and his family. He mentioned this, I think, in the Sunday School Hour. But we knew each other, we've known each other, I think, for 20 years, believe it or not. And because I was in Indiana and he was in Virginia, we stayed friends. But now we're closer, and actually we've become closer friends, which is an amazing thing for an independent Baptist people, to live closer and actually know each other a little more and stay friends. And so I appreciate Pastor Bishop. He has been a huge encouragement in this venture with the seminary. I would say, as far as faith and the work, it's been the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Hardest thing. But it's been amazing to see what God could do. I hope you know this, but we serve an awesome God. He's powerful. Somewhere in the Bible it says this. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly all we ask or think. But he really does. I know it's in the Bible, but he really wants to do that for each and every one of us. So in Proverbs chapter 4, we're going to read. We're going to start in verse 20. Do you guys stand when you read? All right, let's do that. All right, I didn't know if you do or not. You know, trying to read the crowd here. All right, so here we go. So in Proverbs chapter 4, I'll start in verse 20. We're going to go down to verse 27. My son, attend to my words. Cline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. There's a lot of body parts in there, weren't there? All right. I mean, there's eyes and ears and hearts and eyes and eyelids and feet. All right, man, there's a bunch in there. Well, the Bible is telling us, and hopefully we'll be able to look at this, the Bible is instructing us to guard our heart. Our heart's an important part. Now, physically it is, all right? In fact, I've got a doctor. I'm getting old. I know some of you, you're like, no, you're not. And I know, I don't. I look like I'm 24, all right? But I dye my hair gray because I head up a seminary, all right? But I was joking there. It was a joke, all right? But our heart, our physical heart is pretty important. In fact, my doctor, as I'm getting older, man, I go in there and it's like they're screaming all the time. I'm like, I can never please you. I don't like visiting you. You wonder why people don't like you. You wonder why. And I was like, hey, your blood pressure's here. You need to do this. You need to do this. You know why? Because your heart is really important physically. So if it's important physically, do you think it's pretty important spiritually? Yeah, it is. It's actually more important. And the Bible says that I need to guard it with all diligence. The idea, if you go back to that time era, and most of us would understand this, they would build walls. So the Bible is saying that with my heart, I need to put up some walls. And in this passage, it gives us three ways to guard our heart. We're going to consider that this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless. Give us wisdom, guidance as we take your precious word. Open it up to us. And Lord, remove myself and my thoughts, thinking. Make the distractions move aside. Lord, as always, I ask you to do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So in the Bible, we have a couple of places that heart is mentioned. Just a few. So you might remember the first time. So in the Bible, the first time the idea of the heart is mentioned is Genesis chapter 6. So in Genesis chapter 6, you know, God created the earth. And man, it seems to be going well. And then in verse 1 of chapter 6, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. And so here they start multiplying, and population is exploding. And look at, you might not be there, but in verse 3 it says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There are giants in verse 4. Then in verse 5 it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was what? Great in the earth. And that, listen to this, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Man, that almost sounds like describing America. It seems like every time I turn around, I'm like, you know what? It can't get worse. I'm like, I've learned, don't say that. Because it seems like the imagination Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. God found that in Genesis chapter 6, beginning of time. You know, man's heart has a tendency towards evil. But then, verse 6, that's talking about man. But this is something to me that hit me as I read verse 6. And it was sobering. Look at verse 6. And it repented the Lord. So the idea of repentance in the Bible means turning. It can mean sorry. It can just mean sorry. All right? It can mean that. But what's interesting to me is that God, it repented the Lord. The idea is that it can make the Lord sorry or even frustrated. Repent to the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it, look what it says. It grieved him where? In his heart. Now, I understand the Bible sometimes uses pictorial ideas, things that we as men relate to. So you're saying that God has a heart. I think it helps us understand some of the emotions of God. God is not like man. He is not like man. All right, I understand that. But here it says that man's actions. So am I a man? Are you a man or woman? Yes. So our actions can grieve God's heart. That's sobering. I don't want to do that. All right, I know I'm saved now and I'm on my way to heaven, but that doesn't mean I just forget it. I, as a Christian, want to live my life. I want to operate daily that I'm not grieving my Lord and Savior. I want to please him. So that's one passage in the New Testament. Look at another one. It's Deuteronomy chapter 6. I think most of us know this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's quoted by Christ in the New Testament. So most of us would remember that. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at what it says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And what should we do? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, with all thy might. So Jesus quoted that in the New Testament. Remember when they came and they were saying, what is the greatest commandment? And he actually said, well, the greatest commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, the mind, strength, and soul. And the second is like unto it. So Christ goes back to Deuteronomy and says, you know that. He said, you need to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. So why should I guard my heart? One, because my heart can be evil continually. And it can grieve God's heart. The other reason is that the Bible says that I'm supposed to love the Lord with all my heart. So let's go to the New Testament. Does the New Testament speak about my heart? It actually does a couple of times. We're not going to go through tons of them. So let's go to the first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6. And it gives us some instructions. We're just going to look at Matthew 6 and Matthew 12, and then we'll get into the three thoughts this morning. Three thoughts. I don't know if we'll have a poem, but we'll try to, maybe we'll make one up, all right? But we'll do three thoughts this morning about guarding our hearts then. But look at Matthew 6. And look at what it says in verse 21. All right, so the context is the Sermon on the Mount. Christ is telling them, hey, you know what? Be careful of laying up treasures on earth. All right, but look at, and so that's the context of 19 and 20. Look at verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures here in the earth. So the context is kind of covetousness, isn't it? It's about gathering here on this earth and not realizing there's another life. There's an afterlife that's heaven. And I should be thinking about that. So verse 21 speaks to that. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So have you ever noticed this? I can remember this was years ago, and God blessed us when I was in Indiana. I was able to buy a house, and then the house, kind of as normal, there's problems. All right, roof's bad, basement's bad, this is bad. I've realized, you know what, I just want to live in a trailer or a tent. It's a lot easier, all right? Because it seems like every time I have a house, something breaks. All right. I got to fix it. And it takes money to fix things. So, and then you want to do it right. So look in, got somebody involved, and we put a little addition on the house. But you know what happened to the house? Remember, God smite me with it. And God gave me the house. I know he did. I prayed about it. And he said, you can have this. And he helped me with it. But then the house became more important than God. You know, as a Christian, that can happen, can it? And God says, hey, watch your heart. Why? Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I think that happens here on this earth, and I think that's the wise thing. In our Sunday school hour, we talked about that. The first service, we talked about the importance of the church. And at Sunday school hour, we talked about how smart God is. Now, isn't that kind of a dumb statement? God's really smart. But he did that for us. So guess what he created here in this age? He created the church. And he said, get there. Get there often. Why? Because you know what happens as we work out in the world? It just kind of like picks away at us. And it picks away at us. And you're sitting there and, yeah, I've got to make filthy mammon. You know, I mean, how are you going to go? Maybe try this week. Go to the grocery store, walk in, and when they say, you know what, you got to pay this amount, say, I went to church. I'm pretty sure they're not going to take that as payment. All right, I went to church. So we have to have money. But then as you work and work, pretty soon that kind of takes over, and that becomes more important than God. Where my treasure is, then my heart's going to be. Another passage is Matthew chapter 12. So Matthew chapter 12, this will be the last one. Then we'll get back to our text. And then we're going to hang out in our text there. All right? So Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 34. Matthew 12, 34. All right? Look at what Christ says. All right? Those that say that Christ couldn't speak harshly never read the Bible. All right? So Matthew 12, 34, O generation of vipers. That's not talking about the car. All right? That's not talking about a car. It's talking literally as snakes. It's talking to the religious crowd. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Do you have something come out? And, you know, every once in a while you might have a mistake. I understand that. But repeatedly, when something wrong comes out, check your heart. Something's wrong there. So let's go back to our text, and that is found in Proverbs chapter 4. So what is a proverb? Anybody know what a proverb is? A proverb is a short saying that expresses a general truth for practical godly living. All right, I'll say that again, because some of you're like, gone. All right, because you're like, I'm in church, I shouldn't be learning. All right, so I'm sorry, we're learning a little bit. Here's what a proverb is. A short saying that expresses a general truth for practical godly living. So the idea is, and who wrote Proverbs? Solomon. So what do we know about Solomon? Christ said he was the wisest man that ever lived. So you and I have the ability, because God in his wisdom gave us and preserved it for us, a lot of Solomon's writings, and their witty sayings, their wise sayings from the wisest man in the world. But this is what we have to understand. Who? Solomon. My son. Who was Solomon speaking to? All right, he had a lot of sons. All right, I understand that. All right, but guess who one of them was? Rehoboam. Look up Rehoboam. He was an idiot. So guess what it tells you about these witty sayings? It's up to you. You can have the wisest person. You can have the wisest pastor in you. Unbelievable. Wise man. You can sit here And you can go out, and if you don't guard your heart, if you don't take the Word of God and apply it, you can be like Rehoboam. You go out, and it basically did you no good. Nada. Nothing. Wow. That's a shame, isn't it? So how do I avoid those problems? There's three helps to guard our heart. So let's look at our first one. Look at in verse 23, keep thy what? Heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. So look at verse 24. Number one, put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. So a lot of times in the book of Proverbs, and I'm going to help you in understanding even Proverbs, sometimes you'll find when you read a proverb, it like stands alone. You seen that when you read Proverbs? Sometimes just the proverb, like verse 5 doesn't relate to 6 and 6 doesn't relate to 7. That happens. Sometimes they're standalone. I believe, actually, from verse 20 to 27, they all kind of tie together. But specifically, verse 23 to 27, I believe, are a package deal. So he introduces and says, guard your heart. So how do we guard it? Number one, avoid wrong speech. Avoid wrong speech. You say, well, wait a minute. So it tells you two ways. It says, put from the forward mouth. So forward means perverse. You find that, in fact, we're here in chapter 4. Look at chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 14. Look at chapter 6 and verse 4. Forwardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Look at chapter 10 and verse 31. Chapter 10 and verse 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the forward tongue shall be cut out. So it seems to indicate, just so you know, like when your tongue's being cut out, I'm pretty sure the Bible's indicating it's not a good thing. Right? Forwardness is a perversity. It means an aversion. It is unyielding, ungovernable. It's disobedient. Another word that they used many years ago was a word called peevish. Right, that peevish child. All right, that wasn't a compliment. All right, if your parents come up and said you're being peevish, that's not a good word. All right, it's a forwardness. It's a disobedience. It's a ungovernable. All right, so the Bible says that I'm supposed to put this away from me. It's saying, remove this. Have you noticed in our society that the idea of forwardness is that it's untamable, but also that it's dishonest? Lying is not a problem. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that with some people? I mean, maybe politically, or maybe not politically. Maybe even in churches sometimes. I mean, people don't have a problem telling the truth anymore. Lying is no big deal. You know what you're doing? The Bible is saying, if you let that go, your heart's going to be affected. You say, how does that tie? I can't tell you exactly, except the Bible ties it to it. So I need to pay attention. When the Bible says, if I don't care about the truth, it's going to affect my heart, I think the Bible knows. So I need to be careful. I need to be careful with the truth. It tells me a couple of things. So the one thing it said is, watch out for forwardness. All right, forward. That's a forward mouth. But then notice, it also says, and also perverse lips. Perverse means distorted from the right. It means also obstinate. It means petulant. All right, it's almost the same thing. So where... there's a couple other times that the idea of perverse lips is mentioned. Proverbs 10 and verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. You know, one of my favorite verses on the idea of the tongue is Proverbs 16:23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. You know what the Bible is saying? My lips have a tendency to veer, be obstinate, be perverse, to be forward, to not be tameable. The Bible says, teach your lips. You know, some people are like, it's just who I am. So what I got to do? What you're showing, if you're a Christian, is you don't know your Bible. The Bible says, yeah, you can't do it, but the Holy Spirit can help you. Don't come to me and say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, actually, the Bible says you're a new creature. He remakes us. And I know I have to work at things. But one of the things he wants to do is he wants to make my mouth pure and clean. I remember as a little kid, my mom growing up, even to this day, still, if I go in my mom and dad's house, I was just there in May, there in Indiana. And there, when I got up in the morning to make my coffee, I came up, and there was a stack of 3x5 cards. I'm pretty sure my mom owns stock in 3x5 cards. Because since I was a little kid, I can remember her writing verses on 3x5 cards. They were all over the house. And they still are, all over the house. And when we'd go off to school, or maybe we'd be driving somewhere, we'd sit down in the morning, she would say, hey, remember Psalm 14? No, Psalm 19:14. And she'd sing it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight, O Lord. I could still remember it. You know what the Bible says? Let the words of your mouth be acceptable. So what is the cure? So we said, avoid. I'm going to give you a cure. Look at, the doc is in the house. All right, the doc is in the house. So he's not just going to diagnose you. He's going to give you a pill, all right, a cure. So how do I avoid wrong speech? The Bible tells me, Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Proverbs 16:1, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So this is what I would say every day. You're having a problem with your speech, it's going to get to your heart. In fact, the Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So I need to work on this to keep my heart with all diligence. So guess what I need to do every day? Submit my speech to the Lord. If you're having a problem tomorrow morning, this is what I recommend. Say, God, make my tongue pleasant to people around me. Use it for your glory. I submit it to you today. You'll find God will answer your prayer. And you're going to start keeping your heart with all diligence. So that's number one. Look at, that was verse 24. Look at verse 25. So he said, avoid wrong speech. Number two, how do I guard my heart? Three helps. First one, avoid wrong speech. Secondly, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. So first, I avoid wrong speech. Secondly, I avoid wrong sight. Oh. Yeah. So what do we need to do? Well, in the Bible gives us different things that have happened in to show us how to look. All right, for instance, remember in Genesis chapter 19? In Genesis chapter 19, the Bible tells us about somebody named Lot's wife. We don't know her name. Remember what she did, though? They weren't supposed to look back. Remember that? So when it comes to my sight, I need to be careful of looking back. You know, all of us have problems in our life. Just so you know, you're not the only one that's had problems. As I'm traveling around this world, all right, and around the country especially, you know what I've realized? My problems are not a lot, they're not huge compared to what some people have gone through. It puts a lot of things in perspective. Sometimes you're like, oh, and I understand some people have had big things, but guess what? We can get concentrated on that problem or what's happened, And I have a lawyer friend. He always tells me, he says, you can't go forward or you can't make forward progress by looking in the rearview mirror. You know what I find some people? They have wrong sight. They're always looking back. They're always saying, well, this person did this and this person. And, all right, that's our society today. You're always going to find something like, you know what? And I can tell you, you know what? My mom, she's mean. Mean. You're like, yeah, you deserved it. No, I didn't. Did not deserve that. All right? But, you know, there's some people, it's just they're always looking back, or some teacher or something like this or that. And I'm not saying, hey, if somebody did something wrong and it was a crime, prosecute them. I'm all for that. That's biblical too. But I can't live in the past with my sight there. All right, otherwise, all right, have you ever tried to walk forward looking backwards? Yeah, you're on your face, all right? You're on your face, you're tripping or whatever, because you have to keep your eyes focused. So I've got to watch out at looking back. In John chapter 21, it's interesting because Christ was talking to the Apostle Peter, and this is what he said to the Apostle Peter. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? John 21:22 says this, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. I'm pretty sure he said, this is the Dameron version, the DV, all right? The DV version. He said, you know what? It ain't your business. It ain't your business. What? I mean, what are they doing over there? What are they doing over there? You know what you need to worry about? You. This is what I have found. I have so many problems with me that when I get done, I'm tired and the day's done. I haven't even had time to start on my neighbors yet. All right? And then I get up and I start on me again. And by the day being done, I've used it all up again. You know what the Bible says? Stop looking back. Stop looking at others. And also, I also need to be careful when it says avoiding wrong sight. Let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. You know, the Bible says that I need to be careful of looking out at the world. Remember, there's another guy. His name was, it was Lot. Remember Lot's wife? She turned back. But remember, Lot looked up and he saw the well-watered plants. Now you're saying, so is it wrong to have nice things? That's not the point of the passage. I don't think necessary. But what it was is he never really considered. He never considered that. All right, so this stuff over here, all right, what is there? It wasn't necessarily the well-watered plains, but guess what was there? Sodom and Gomorrah. What were they known for? Sin. And you know what, you and I? We sometimes sillily, all right, if that's a word, all right, we're silly in how we look out and we think that the world is not going to affect us with certain things. Yes, it will. And so you know what you should do sometimes? All right, I'm using an iPad. Or your phone. Why not fast a day from it? All right, when you're twitching, all right, maybe that's an indication. All right, maybe you're a young man or young woman and you're having problems with the phone or maybe with looking at wrong things. Do you know there's really reasonable and cheap accountability things? Why wouldn't you do that? Like, I'm not going to have some. Why wouldn't you? Is your heart not worth it? Yeah. Physically, if somebody came in and the doctor sat you down and they said, hey, you know what? You're going to have to, if you want to live 10 more years, or you want to live 20 more years, you're going to have to rein some things. So this is some things you got to do. You're going to have to restrict your diet. You're going to have to do this and do this. Are you going to look at that doctor? You know what, Doc? I don't want to live. Well, maybe you don't. But most of us physically make changes, don't we? So why wouldn't we spiritually? So here are some things that are killing your heart spiritually. What is it? Wrong speech. Wrong sight. Looking at things you shouldn't. I'm like, what's it? Spiritually, you're a dead man walking around. And just so you know, dead people stink. Just so you know that. They really do. And people around you, they say, thou stinketh. All right, why? Because dead things stink. They're not alive. They're not vibrant. You know what I've met? I've met Christians. Now, oh, I'm saved. I love Jesus. I'm like, you stink, though. You be stinking. You're like, why? Well, because guess what? I'm not guarding my heart. My heart is deadened. So we said, when the doc comes, we said there's a couple of things. So we don't just diagnose. We say, so I gotta guard my heart. So I avoid wrong speech. So what do I do with my speech? I submit it to God. So I gotta avoid wrong sight. So how do I get my sight corrected? Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, it talks about Jesus. And it says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. You know what Jesus can do for my heart? He can help it. When I'm focused on Christ, when I'm focused on Him, guess what happens? Remember we sing the song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You know what I need to do? I need to stop looking back and at others and at the world, and I need to start focusing on Christ, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Look unto Jesus. We said there's three things, so let's do our last one. And you said, amen. All right, so let's go to verse 26 and 27. So how do I guard my heart? I avoid wrong speech. I avoid wrong sight. Now, let's verse 26, 27. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So I avoid wrong speech, I avoid wrong sight, and then I avoid wrong steps. All three of them. So God says, hey, you got to keep your heart with all diligence. What are three ways? Speech, sight, steps. Like, I think God's pretty smart. I think He about covered everything. So what did He say about steps? Notice what He said, and these are catchphrases we use. He said, think before you leap. Where do we find that? First word, ponder. Think before you leap. Man, I wish that sometimes, now being a little older and looking back, some people had said, hey, you should consider. That's a biblical word. Look it up sometimes. The word consider is all through the Bible. Think. You know, the Bible tells us and instructs us to think. But we should think before we take steps sometimes. You know, sometimes it's very clear where that path is going to. Then think. Avoid those steps. It says ponder. So ponder, think. Notice it says be sure of your steps. Ponder the path of thy feet and let thy ways be established. Be sure of them. You know, that idea of establishing, that means that there's a surety there. Do you know that sometimes I don't know what to do, but guess who does? God does. Guess who's been given to me? The Holy Spirit. What did He say? I'll guide you. Like, no, I don't want to hear Him. He's just God. Doesn't that sound dumb when I say it? Well, just so you know, it sounds dumb when you do it. All right. It's just, sometimes we're like, you know what? Yeah, it's just the Holy Spirit. He's nudging me. Well, then why wouldn't you follow God? You see, I may not know a lot of things because I'm man, but God and the Holy Spirit and His Word is here. Don't we say, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet? You see, I can have my path established because I can go to God's Word and God's Word helps me. They're like, oh, you know what? And I'm not trying to be vulgar, all right? But, you know, I'm there, I'm just a teenager, all right? And somebody comes by and says, hey, you know what? Here's, all right, this is my age, way back, you know. Hey, here's a girly magazine. Oh, I wonder. What does the Bible say? Right that fast, I know what to do. Like, oh, it's so hard how to decide. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to decide. I see, sometimes we make it so difficult when the Bible is pretty clear on certain things. So let thy way be established. So think before you leap. Be sure of your steps. And then be careful of detours. Where does it say that? Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. All right, so turn not to the right hand nor to the left. So be careful of detours. Do you think that the devil has detours? Yeah. Do you see it in Scripture? Yeah, you do. You see the devil coming in and veering off paths. So I need to be careful because the devil... All right, so think about this. Matthew chapter 4. Christ is here on this earth. And Christ, His goal is to come and to be a redemption, the Redeemer, to seek and to save that which was lost. And here comes the devil. He's starting his earthly ministry, Jesus is, and here comes the devil, and what does he do? Detour. Hey, Jesus, you hungry? No, I've just been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Stupid. Right? But he was nice. He didn't say it that way. All right? So what does he try to do? We call it the temptation. But guess what? This is what's interesting to me. Christ, even here on the earth, was God. So that meant he was all-powerful. All right, there's amazing things that are that happened here on this earth when Christ came down to this earth. So what do we know? Could Christ have ninja chopped him? I think so, because he probably knew all ninja moves. All of them. Backwards, forwards, everything. He could have just like tripped the devil and thrown him wherever. But what did Christ do as far as answering the devil? Every time he used what? The Bible. I believe it was purposeful. It's because he was showing you and I how on this earth we could be like Christ and we can beat the devil. We can avoid the detours by the map book, the roadmap. It's God's Word. The path is clear. So be careful of detours. And then, the last one, look what it says. Remove thy foot from evil. Run away from sin. Run away from it. I shouldn't want sin in my heart. I shouldn't want it around me. Some people say, well, you know what? It seems like, you know, you're careful of these things. Well, I understand that. And are there people that basically make their fences, all right, and they, now there's this big term of legalism. And they legalism and they put these fences out there. I'm not trusting in the fence to get to heaven. But guess what? There are some bad dogs out there. There's snakes. Down in Florida, there's gators, crocodiles. Now, guess what happens down in Florida? We were down there in August. We were staying at a place, and there's a fence all around and posted on it, and it says, do not climb over the fence. There's some gators. And I was like, forget that. I hopped over and went for a swim. You're stupid. No, you're not doing that. Now, guess what they're doing? Legalist. You bunch of legal. Guess what? In my life, I don't like sin. And I've learned that I have a tendency to like it. No, I don't. You know, you're looking at me like, you evil man. Yeah, you're the same way. We all like it. Why? Because we have a flesh. And its tendency is to like sin. The default nature of our flesh is to like sin. That's the default. The Holy Spirit can come in and he can rejuvenate us. That's the idea of regeneration. It's alive. But daily, I need to work at that and I need to guard my heart. So what's the cure? Remember we said there's always a cure. The Bible says this for my path. Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That has the idea of the heart in there. Trust and faith is a heart issue. So I trust God and I commit my path and my steps to him. So it seems like every day I need to be guarding my heart. That's what you should be doing. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. A few years ago, there was a boxing match. A fan was there at the boxing match, and he drank too much. He got into a fight, and he fell down a flight of stairs, so the family wanted justice. So they hired a slick lawyer, and he sued. Included in the lawsuit was the Ticketmaster. The Ticketmaster sold this man a ticket to the boxing match. Well, guess what? He won. Another crazy scenario happened a number of years ago. A man that bought a four-seater airplane. In order to rig the plane so he could fly it from the back seat, he removed the pilot's seat, along with all the safety equipment. The plane crashed. The man's family sued the company that built the plane. How dare them build a plane like that? I mean, you removed the pilot's seat and all the safety equipment. The family won millions of dollars, even though the man altered and deliberately misused the original equipment. You would say, well, that is silliness. That happens all the time in America, doesn't it? It's not going to happen for you when you stand before God. How do I know that? Verse 23. Notice what it says. Keep what? Thy heart. You know what it's saying? It's your job to keep your heart with all diligence. God's given you helps. He's given you advice. He's given you a book. He's given you a church. He's given you people that care for you. But he says, ultimately, you're going to stand and you're going to answer. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. You may have let your guard down in your speech. I challenge you today, correct it. You may have let down your guard with your sight. Please get a Christ-like vision. You may have let down your guard with your steps. Then get on the right path. May God help us this morning to learn to guard our hearts. This morning it may be that you'd say, well, I don't know. I'm here and I'm just visiting. Maybe it's the first time. Maybe it's you've been here for a year or two. And you'd say, you talk about the heart, but I don't know that I ever know that I've trusted Jesus Christ in my heart. You know, that's what Romans 10 says. It says that with our heart, confession is made. And you would say, you know, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior in my heart. I haven't trusted him as my Savior. And I'd like for you to pray for me today. My prayer won't get you saved, but I'd like to pray that you'd have courage to trust Jesus Christ today. You'd say, would you pray for me? Anybody like that today? You'd slip up your hand. I won't embarrass you, but you'd say, would you pray for me? I don't know that I know Jesus Christ as my Savior personally. I've never trusted him as my Savior. Anybody like that? You'd say, would you pray for me? Well, what about you as a Christian here today? Are you guarding your heart? Heavenly Father, bless the invitation time. We thank you for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. And I pray that you would use it to help us, Lord. The Bible says that we need to keep our heart with all diligence. Help us to be careful with our speech and our sight and our steps. May they be pleasing in your sight every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing with heads bowed, eyes closed.